Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Welcome back to another week and another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. Your boy Danny's back. That's me. I got my guy Brian Siegler from Boundary Corner here. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. The season's over. Thank God. I think we can all rejoice in the fact that the season is over. We lost to UVA. They took the cup. That sucks. But short term, they didn't do anything with it. They just choked the ACC championship game away. We had one hell of a signing day. And to cap that off, boom. You heard Mark Morrison, the return of the Mac in my head as Brent Pry was reintroduced to, you know, us. He's back. Brent Pry, defensive coordinator at Virginia Tech. Our guy is back. The redemption arc starts now. But first and most importantly, Brian Siegler, how we living, my man?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. I've been obviously working through some family struggles and things like that. But it's been a much better week. We got some snow on the ground. Just went outside and did a little sledding with my son before I jumped on here with you. So, hey, we're doing okay. And you had Return of the Mac in your head. I had Jay-Z public service announcement.
So allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Pry. Yeah, so, dog.
We're on the same wavelength there. I like that.
I'm excited about it. The snow was awesome. I took Friday off from work, and we got like probably 2 inches here. Took the dog out for a long walk and played around in the snow. Like, he had a blast. I had a blast. Like, it was a good weekend. And then, we brought in and Brent Pry's back. We got a very strong recruiting class. Hopefully, the rumors on the internet are starting to stir. So, looking like we're headed towards clarification on the staff build out, what we've all been clamoring for. For the past month, I've been campaigning for Sam Levitt. He officially entered the portal today. Let's hope that we have a shot at that, because I think he is an amazing quarterback for what we were trying to do, both with his legs and with his arm. But he is not a 2026 Hokie commit. So let's get into our class, which we jumped 102 spots in 2 weeks. Like,
wild.
if you would have thought like when 2025 started that we would end up with a top 25 recruiting class in the nation, much less James Franklin, like what would your reaction have been?
Man, the way things were trending, regardless of who we hired, I was going to be happy to finish somewhere in the top 60. So the fact that we finished in the top 25 is insanity, man. I when we start looking at these guys and kind of naming them off, I mean, you end up with, 4-star quarterback in this mix, 4-star running back, 4-star linebacker. We got Thomas Wilder back in the boat. That was big. You got Fat Rat coming home, man. There's so much to love with what he was able to do and accomplish. And that's before we even get into like Pierce Peterson getting another tight end, first kind of blue chip tight end we've signed since Benji. That's big as well. I mean, this class is, looks a lot different than what I expected it to look like a month ago. I thought, if we get the right coach, we might can bring Tommy Wilder back. We might be able to get a couple other 4-stars maybe, and kind of hold on to everybody else, fill in the gaps with some of the lower level 3-stars and, try again next year. But Franklin said, nah, we're going to go in here and we're going to take half of Penn State's class. We're going to clean up a couple other spots around the way. We're going to go grab T-Ron as well. And we're going to keep this thing moving. And, I'm as excited about a recruiting class as I've probably been at least a decade at this point, man. What about you?
Dude, I haven't. Like, somebody asked me what my most – it might have been you, I don't remember, but it was what I'm most excited about with James Franklin. And I said it was the fact that when you watch the recruits film, you're not going to have to justify why they're coming to Blacksburg. This is going to jump off the screen at you. And that's what I have seen with Harley, Wiggins, Peterson, Hoon, all the O-linemen, T-Ron. Like, it's just a plethora of talent coming in that looks like they belong at high-level P4 football. And that is what I'm most excited about initially, before I even get into the film.
And I mean, we got a Gonzaga kid to finally commit to us. Usually they're either going to Penn State or Maryland, even UVA. We finally got a Gonzaga kid, Tyson Harley. That's exciting. You know, we still got the Green Run pipeline coming in through here. A lot of guys in that, that Maryland, Catholic school pipeline, couple other guys from New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So I mean, we're taking them all from the Mid-Atlantic, still staying within the footprint, just moving up a little bit. Now, what do you think, looking at this class and kind of looking at some of the classes in Virginia Tech history, like we've been dipping our toes down into North Carolina, down into Charlotte, down into those areas a lot. Do you think that Franklin will still be able to do that going forward, taking advantage of that talent-rich North Carolina area? Or do you think we're going to start to see it continue to kind of trend up towards the PA, New Jersey area like we saw with this cycle?
Well, I think, okay, so Penn State just hired Matt Campbell. They're probably going to win some games at some point. Yeah. And I think that they'll start to get not a lot of the foothold on Pennsylvania, but they'll get some of it just being Penn State, home state school. Like, it's their state. Whereas I think that we'll start – I think Franklin will start concentrating a lot in North Carolina, especially if this Jordan Bill situation keeps spiraling in North Carolina, just – keeps being bad. I do think he's going to end up ramping it up down there in North Carolina. And I don't know what the staff's going to look like, but I believe Hal, that was with him at Penn State, is a North Carolina guy. Like, he's from there. So I think that would make sense. I think he's from the Raleigh area. But I do think we'll stay in Pennsylvania and we'll still get Pennsylvania kids. But I think the longer that Franklin is at Virginia Tech, the more North Carolina kids we'll see in our recruiting classes. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Ty Howe. Good old Bun, North Carolina, so just outside of the Raleigh area there. Yeah, I think having somebody that has that those ties down there, it looks like he had, you know, spent some time at NC State, Penn State grad. So he's got some ties there to Franklin, ties down to the North Carolina area. So if he's coming along in whatever role that may be, I think that's probably going to, you know, pay some dividends on the recruiting trail down in North Carolina. It seems like he's done a pretty good job with recruiting during his time at Penn State. So hopefully they can turn that around if that's the guy we go with. Yeah, I've heard Coach Chaos getting kind of thrown in there on that front. That's another guy that can recruit a little bit as well. So we'll see how the rest of the staff shapes up and what that means on the recruiting front as we kind of move forward into next year. And obviously the transfer portal when that opens up next month.
If we landed Coach Chaos again, like we tried last year, that was the big rumor. It didn't happen. But if we have a chance, if we actually get him, we reel him onto the boat, the prize fish of Texas A&M, like, because that D-line down there is insane. That DN they have, I can't remember his name, but he's nasty. I watched him give Sellers fits. But he, if you put Spencer, Pry, Franklin, and Mines, like, and that's not, like, that's just – an insane, that's a dream team recruiting force in the region.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got Pry coming back. You know, Pry has done historically well recruiting edge guys, recruiting linebackers, obviously. A couple of good safeties in his recruiting mix. Obviously things were a little different when we were looking at it from a head coach perspective. There's a different hat that you wear when you're recruiting as a head coach than as a coordinator, as a position coach. So I don't know if we saw necessarily as many of the fruits of that labor as we will see with him in that coordinator role. And we'll see to what degree, you know, he's handling a position group for this unit, or whether he's just going to be kind of a, you know, DC without having his own position group. I think that's still kind of not defined at this point, but I'm sure we'll get some more information on that as it moves forward. I was when I heard Pride's name coming back, I'm like, this is weird. But then I was like, let me think this through a little bit. So like my thinking on it, it's like if Pride never been Virginia Tech's head coach, would I be excited about this hire? And the answer is yes. I would be excited about this hire if Pride moved on to some other school and had 4 years where he was up and down as a head coach, and then Franklin got hired at Virginia Tech, and he said, "Pry, come on back here. We'll get you a nice little DC spot to have a little soft landing after that other tough road." I'd be pretty ecstatic about it, because we've seen that he's been able to do very well, especially when he's got a good amount of talent around him. So the weird part is that, you know, you don't normally see when you get the re-return, you don't see the re-return happen 3 months after the guy gets canned at the same school. You usually see that 2-3 years down the road. There might be some revisits like that, but this is definitely an interesting dynamic. Especially with guys that are obviously currently on the roster, and we'll see how that lands. I know a lot of those kids were Pry disciples. They were big on Pry. You know, whether it was, you know, Lovett that immediately jumped in the portal when that thing went down, to some of the other guys. So I don't think Pry lost the locker room necessarily. I think the team just lost some focus at the beginning of the year when you lose some hard games. There was a little bit of quit there, I think, just because of the frustrations of the situation. But I don't think he ever lost them from a personality and relationship standpoint.
Yeah. Well, if you follow the NFL, I'm a Broncos fan. If you follow me on Twitter, you know this, the Bo Time tweets every Sunday. But our defensive coordinator is Vance Joseph. And he was our head coach. And then he went to Arizona for a little bit, so it's a little different. But then Peyton brought him back. But what people don't know is if Vance Joseph wouldn't have taken the job, Vic Fangio, who we had just fired as our head coach, Sean Payton was going to bring back as defensive coordinator. So I could have had this experience a couple years ago. But I think it's different when you're not wearing all the hats. Pride just gets the focus on the defense now. Way less stress, way less, I'm not going to say responsibility, but in a sense, yeah, like the buck doesn't stop with you now. Like you can just focus on the thing that you're good at. And I think he's a great dude. Everyone in Blacksburg still loves him. That's apparent. I haven't really seen any revolt over this thing. Not even from the troll accounts, but I don't really pay attention there. But I think that he deserves a shot at redemption, and I hope this is it.
Yeah, I mean, the guy obviously loves Blacksburg, loves Virginia Tech. I mean, you go back to just his time here, I think that was self-evident. But then, you know, seeing how things went down after he got fired, seeing where the conversations with Franklin went and the things Franklin was saying at the introductory press conference about that relationship and how Pry felt about the area. I felt like Pry was going to be a part of this staff in some way, shape, or form at that point. I was thinking more like defensive analyst. I thought he might be the guy that takes a defensive analyst role. You hire a DC, maybe that DC has some success and moves on to a bigger stop or gets a head coaching job, and then Pry steps in at that point. I thought that might be the path, but ultimately it looks like, you know, Pry's going to be the guy right out the gate. And you're right. I mean, I think this is a guy that really loves Blacksburg and Virginia Tech. And I think he's shown that having a coordinator responsibility versus a head coach responsibility is something that he can handle. He can excel at. He can do at a high level. He never showed that in all the phases he needed to show that as a head coach. You know, we saw, you know, a lot of times you can call it winning the offseason. You can call all that things. He did a lot of the things that you need to do well between January and August. And then as soon as you laced them up, it was like we couldn't put all those pieces together to do the right thing. So hopefully in this role, a little more focused on his specialty, we can see a little bit better outcome here in Blacksburg.
Yeah, and also, I mean, he came in, he did the groundwork. He turned the name of Virginia Tech around within the high schools and the footprint. James Franklin already has a name in our footprint. He is the king of our footprint. And so he's not going to have an issue walking into a high school and the coach and talking to the coaches. Like, but it is going to be easier on him now to go into a high school wearing the Virginia Tech logo and that logo already be warm and familiar and somewhat attractive to these kids versus before where Pry walked in and some schools were like, we haven't seen this logo in 6 years.
Yeah, that was crazy to me. I know, you know, that was a big story at Warwick High School. There was, you know, several others that had made similar comments to that degree. The relationship building is still important, even in the age of NIL, even in the age of transfer portal. You got to be comfortable with where you're going, who you're going with, what they're all about, the people that they are. And Pry showed that he was willing to get in there and do the work that was needed to rebuild and repair those relationships, keep those strong. And we saw that also with some of the guys that he had recruited previously. You know, if they went elsewhere, the relationship was still there. They made a second stop back into Blacksburg on their way to bigger and better things. So I don't think that piece of the puzzle is going to be a problem for Pry. And obviously, you know, we know with James Franklin having those relationships already built and established and kind of ready to go, that just makes his job all the easier when he jumps in there.
Yeah. I'm excited for the first 2027 commit, whenever that is. Like, I'm just ready. I think the first time we get a five-star, like, I might shed a tear. Like, I don't know when that happens, but I feel like there's a good shot that, especially if you bring Chaos, you have Pry, you have Franklin, you keep Mines, let's say you follow other rumors, you hire Dex, Anthony Poindexter. Like, they're between them, I think you'd think they would at least bag one five-star recruit. And we haven't had a true five-star since. I mean, Kendall came because he's a legacy. His brothers were coming here. He already knew Frank, but like Tyrod Taylor had no connection to the school other than, you know, being from the 7-5. So,
yep.
We haven't had a five-star recruit in a long time. And even Kendall was years ago.
Yeah. I mean, Kendall is now, what, over a decade at this point. And, you know, you go back to Tyrod, that's the last one where he came here just on the basis of the recruiting alone. So that's going back about 20 years. So that kind of tells you how things have been going for us when it comes to landing the big dogs there. It will be a fun day when the Hokies can get another five-star to come in this building. And I think James Franklin has the chops to get it done. I think he has the chops to get it done in 2027. Yeah, I think when you look at this class, I think the way things line up, I think the groundwork that he laid at Penn State is good because he has been reaching into the Mid-Atlantic for the duration of his time at Penn State. So there's not like a reestablishing of relationships. It's really just selling another school.
Yeah. Predict the position of the first five-star recruit in the Franklin era at Virginia Tech.
I'm going to say it's going to be a safety.
Okay.
I'm going to go safety.
Okay. I was going to say like edge rusher linebacker.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
That would be my number two. Like probably linebacker would be my number two, but I'm going to go safety here. I feel like it's the area that we need probably the biggest impact player in the near future. So I think it's a good place to really focus on pulling in a guy that can come in and do things pretty quick.
How do you think he handles the conversations? Because he's got to meet with the team. I'm sure they're meeting with players and coaches now to decide, like, are you staying? Are you going? Like, kids that may have just sat out the year or whatever, we don't know. But ones that were largely inactive for the course of the year, and now maybe they want to stick around. How do you think he goes about those conversations and making those decisions? Because that's a tough one. Like, they could be a talented kid, but you want to set the tone for the locker room and the chemistry, and kids might not like if they know, like, hey, this dude kind of got a little hurt and then use it to not play for a bad team. Like, that could ruin some chemistry.
That's interesting, too, because when you look at the guys that are in that situation, most of those guys were on the defensive side of the ball. I'd say the majority of the offensive players, if they were healthy, they played for the most part. You had a ton of opt-outs and sit-outs and portal entries on the defensive side of the ball. So now you got Pry coming back, who recruited all those players, but also, you know, you went through that period. Is the conversation of, I did this out of loyalty to Pry, or do you have the conversations of, did you quit on your team because things didn't go the way you wanted to? I think there's going to be a lot of different ways to approach that. And if you're the player, I mean, you're going to have some difficult conversations about what your motivations were throughout that process. And that's not to say that some of those kids might not have a convincing reason and make their case as far as, you know, what that may be. I guess the question's going to be, when we're looking at retention, when we're looking at what we're trying to get in the portal, I mean, I know that James Franklin said, you know, we're probably going to use the portal a little more this year than we will going forward. What's your number at? And that might drive how lenient you are with some of these guys coming back, especially the guys that are the kind of more of a higher caliber player that could really help you from a talent standpoint.
Yeah, that's how I kind of feel about it. You know, you would think, I mean, how large a portal class are we talking? 35 kids, 40 kids. You have a 22-person high school class, and then you keep, what, like 40-some of the current kids, and that puts you right around your limit, you know? So, I mean, there's definitely some conversations to be had and some convincing to be done if I'm James Franklin or if I'm a player that didn't play. And which, I mean, everybody has a reason. I'm not going to dog you for doing it, like, whatever. But, like, we don't know. We weren't there. We don't know if you were legitimately hurt, or only you know.
Yeah.
And that, like, you have to deal with that. You have to live with that. Like, you have to know the truth on that. So, like, you know,
yeah,
how I feel about it.
And it could be a clean slate situation. Like, Franklin's coming in. Hey, I wasn't a part of this. We can have our fresh conversations. Obviously, you know, the Pry dynamic throws a little bit of a interesting wrench into that. But, I mean, all those guys were playing when Pry was still the head whistle. So, I think that dynamic is going to be really, really interesting. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how those conversations are going, but I'm excited to see what we do in the portal. I definitely think, you know, when you're looking at it, we've already talked about it. We saw it in the recruiting class. Focus on the trenches. I think that's what we got to do as soon as that transfer portal opens, is get as many offensive linemen in the building as we can. Because it, when you look at, of all the struggles that Kyren Drones had, I mean, this past season, it was a mismatch, like square peg, round hole scheme for his talent base. Obviously, he has his own limitations throwing the football in general, making reads, things like that. But when it comes down to it, there were opportunities there that the offensive line didn't afford him to be able to take. And they played fairly well in the running game, but the pass pro, especially you know, once the guards went down and you had some shuffling in that offensive line, it got really bad really quick. And we can't have a situation where we, you know, are one injury away from averaging under 100 yards throwing for the back half of the season.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of big boys coming in this class. The trench hogs are massive.
Yeah.
Which is great. And then you have some guys there now that played this past year, like Johnny Garrett, Lathe Ganem. Like, they'll probably be retained, I would think, if they want to be. But I'm going into the portal thinking I'm at least going after four starting offensive linemen. With the, my mindset would be Al Tuner, probably still my starting center. I don't know how Franklin or whoever his O-line coach will feel about that. If Matt Moore's coming back, if it's Phil Troutwine, who I don't know. Like, we don't know who it is. So, like, I'm trying to, if I'm using my money, I'm spending my money on the protection.
Yeah, that's where I'm focusing the money, and I think that and a quarterback, because I think you already have a decent enough amount of talent on the defense side of the ball. If you're able to retain most of your wide receiver talent, you already got a good amount of talent there. You got two running backs that, if you can retain them, you're in a good position going into next year. Offensive line and quarterback are obviously going to be the two biggest need positions, and you got to have the O-line first before the quarterback, in my opinion, because you got to at least be able to protect those guys that you're bringing in. And if I'm a quarterback and I'm looking at the tape from last year at all, if I'm doing any homework on Virginia Tech, any discussions I'm having is going to include some discussions about what the O-line transfer portal is looking like. So one's going to dictate the other, in my opinion.
1,000%. Can't put the cart before the horse. And in this case, you can't, I mean, same situation. You need some really big horses, like some oxes.
If you can't protect,
this is Oregon Trail, baby.
Yeah. Give me all the oxen.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Oregon Trail, the oxen before the horse. Because, yeah, you can get the best quarterback in the world, but look at Joe Burrow, dude. If you don't have time, doesn't matter.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if you can't block, it's going to be hard to do anything offensively, especially sustained over the course of 12 games.
Exactly. Looking at this class, like, I really like Pierce Peterson, the tight end, who also plays quarterback. So we're going to have to bring the Wild Turkey back, because I've been watching this dude's film, and he can throw, he can catch, and he can damn sure run. And I was most impressed. He had a play on defense, intercepted the ball. It looked like the play was about to be dead. He spins out of a tackle, reverses field all the way around for like a 60-some yard touchdown. And I was like, I like this kid a lot. Like, this kid is versatile. He's big. I'm partial to tight ends. I love tight ends, is what I played when I played football. But, like, it's just, I got a lot of love for the TE position.
Yeah, I mean, he could be one of the greats. I feel like a lot of the time when we've had like really elite tight end play, it's been a guy that played quarterback in high school. Guys with you know, ball skills, guys that kind of know the offense, have had to run an offense, not just line up and block, things like that. When we've had really elite tight ends, they were former quarterbacks. So excited to see what he can do. As you said, very versatile player. So getting a guy like that in your tight end room. And I imagine we're going to focus a lot more on the tight end than we did this past season. You know, we had talked about it. You know, I think we talked about it on the preview panel. We had said some stuff before that. Monty doesn't use tight ends in the passing game very much, and that certainly played out over the course of the season. If it wasn't the red zone, it was really hard to find a tight end getting targeted in that offense. And we weren't very successful in the red zone either. So
very frustrating.
Hopefully
you can
get the tight end involved back in the offense again. I love what a tight end can do just from a versatility standpoint, creating some mismatches, in the passing game. So getting back to that's going to be important.
Yeah, and I was watching Messiah Mickens, and this kid, it reminded me of a Mike Shanahan running back, like one cut, hit the hole, clear field, bounce to the outside every time. Like, and there was more. He'd catch 20-yard passes. He had defensive snaps on his huddle. He was rushing off the edge, sacking the quarterback. I was like, man, like, He might be one of them ones, Messiah Mickens, running back. Because next year we have, you know, Hawkins and Overton leading the way, I would assume Jeff's sticking around. Hawkins probably, who knows who the running back coach is going to be. I'm sure that will determine a lot of it. But the future is bright at the tailback position.
The future is bright at tailback, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. You know, a little bit of like, you know, what Khalil Herbert looked like in high school in Messiah Mickens. One cut, good vision, ability to hit the home run, take it to the house. I mean, that would be, a good compliment to what Jeff Overton does. Obviously we got Hawk coming back. So, you know, you're starting to kind of put together a really strong running back room, both in the short term and the long term. We'll see how some of the guys in that middle part of the pack, how many of those guys stick around as we, you know, get into a part where we're evaluating rosters. I know we got about a month or so before the portal gets going proper. This is the dead period. This is all about retaining your roster and getting all that staff lined up so you're ready to hit the ground running when portal season opens.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of issues at linebacker over the last couple of years. We thought that would be a problem that was solved. Jaden Keller never really hit potential. Real good pressure, not very good at anything else. It was just kind of now, like, you look at, you know, Terry Wiggins, Tyson Harley coming off the edge, Matthew Lama, or Lama? It can't be Lama, right? It got to be Lama. I'm going with Lama. I'm not calling that man Lama. But if it is, I will gladly call him Lama. No disrespect, but like, these dudes are big. Harley especially is very long, athletic, immediately stands his offensive lineman up, goes whichever way he wants, and then boom, speed burst, tackle. Or he's even making tackles coming out of a block. Like, he's just long, athletic, big. You know, Wiggins sees the play very well, has a very good eye for the ball, where it's going, fills the hole immediately. Like, it's refreshing to watch this happen already before they even get here.
Yeah, guys that could read a defense, read what the offense is doing on defense, make tackles, you know, go about their business. I think we haven't really had somebody that was ready upstairs like Wiggins is right out the gate. You know, we've had a lot of guys that were athletic coming in, but they weren't necessarily ready for what it means to play linebacker at this level. I think Terry Wiggins is an exception to that. I think he's going to come in and have some opportunity pretty quick, especially, you know, trying to get into the two deep and things like that. I was most excited about Wiggins and Tyson Harley, so I'm glad you mentioned both of them. Tyson Harley, to me, is going to be, I mean, even though he's kind of, he's rated highly, he's like right at that, you know, that four-star range, man, I think he could have been higher. I really like his talent, what he does, you know, being able to have a build out the gate at 6'4", 215. There's not a lot that you need to do to add to that frame to kind of get to play ready, especially if you're using him in like situational pass rushing, you know, in the next season. So I think he's a guy that has some potential to really get on the field and make an impact early just because of that skill set and his frame where it already is.
No, absolutely. I'm beyond excited to get some real dudes in here before they even get into a college strength and conditioning program. It's just absolutely refreshing. Like, I just still can't believe it. We're 24th in the country before the portal. After the portal, I don't know. Like, where do you think we end up? Like, do you think we can sneak in top 15 with the portal class?
I'm hoping that we can sneak into the top 20. I'm not ready to push it to 15 yet, only because I don't know what the rest of the staff's going to look like. I think that matters a lot more in the portal, because it's not just the trust element, but it's the show me element with the transfer portal, because a lot of these guys are going to be 1 year rentals or maybe have a couple years of eligibility like left. There might be some other guys that are younger that have 2 or 3 years of eligibility left, but most of them are going to be kind of one and done guys. So until I see what the rest of the staff looks like, it's going to be hard to see what the ceiling would be for a portal class for Virginia Tech under James Franklin. But I could definitely see us, you know, jumping up, you know, 3, 4, 5 spots for sure. Just kind of seeing where we are right now and kind of what some other schools are looking at. And then you got some other schools out there, like, was it UNC taking like 40 some in this class, and, West Virginia, I think they had like 39 3-stars or something like that. Like,
yeah,
man, some of the sizes of these classes are kind of wild to me, but, you know, with the scholarship limit adjusting, it's a new look. And I thought with the portal that might go down a little bit, but some of these schools are still like going out there and just grabbing any warm body that they can.
That's a fact. And quarterback, it'll be interesting to see. You know, we got Troy Hewn coming in the class. I watched his tape. He's got some wheels on him. He's not like the fastest dude, but he's got mobility, which I think is necessary to even play quarterback in 2025, 2026. Like, the statues are gone. Like, everybody can move a little bit, but I saw him take off on a bootleg and broken coverage and house it 50 yards. Like, he can make the throws. He's got he throws a beautiful ball. The release is a little weird, but I mean, oh well. So is Phillip Rivers. That dude ended up being a pain in my ass for years in San Diego. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it does. Like, the ball gets where it needs to go. It's accurate. That's what matters. We need some accuracy. Somebody's not afraid to sling the pill. But if anybody from the new staff listens to this, the Dan wish list is Sam Levitt. If you can't bring me Sam Levitt, bring me Bo Prabula. And then we can talk about Hauser or Colton Joseph after that. But first of all, Sam Levitt. Say it with me. Sam Levitt.
Levitt beast. Would be at the top of my list, because I didn't know for sure if he was going to be available. I pretty much knew Colton Joseph was going to be available. So, yeah. But with Sam Levitt available, I think that's got to be the person that you circle at the top of your list, and then you kind of work down from there. I'd probably have Joseph at probably 3 for me. But I could see Joseph being the path of least resistance just because we probably won't have quite as much of a bidding spree for Joseph as you will for Sam Levitt.
I would hope not.
So it just it just kind of depends on with the NIL money that we got for the transfer portal, is it more let's get three linemen that we need right now and not getting a bidding war for Levitt, go ahead and take Joseph and then figure it out in 2027.
Yeah, I think they'll take two QBs. I would think they'd take two. I feel like they'll get like a maybe a multi-year guy, like a two-year guy, and then like a one-year backup, like guy just serviceable, solid, right, looking to just add another degree to the working force, you know, one of them. Like Colin Schley, who threw for over 400 yards and a loss to Syracuse. But, yeah, like
that
Sam Levitt.
That hurts me, man.
Yeah. Bo Perbula, Colton Joseph, and then after that, I don't care. Like, we'll see who enters the portal. We'll see who our offensive coordinator is so we know what kind of offense we're going to run, first of all, because that matters. Obviously,
that
we saw,
will matter.
Yeah, we saw a quarterback that did not fit a Montgomery offense this year, and it resulted in a lot of losses and no Commonwealth Cup. But I do love Kyron Drones. I know it was not easy for him to do what he did and be here. I know a lot of people have a lot of issues with his performance, and his performance certainly needed to be better, but I think he was loyal, and I think he's a great kid with a great family, and I do wish him the best.
Yeah, I agree on all accounts. I mean, I think he handled it as good as you could handle that type of situation where you've been tapped as the guy, things aren't going the way you want them to. You get injured last year. You're playing through a lot of that. You know, abruptly your offensive coordinator departs for redder pastures, and you end up with a coordinator that, while, you know, pretty solid touted wise, good history, probably doesn't fit your skill set and what you do well and what he wants to do in an offense. You know, you add in some of the offensive line struggles, you have a recipe for disaster on the offensive side of the ball, especially when you look at the passing attack.
1,000%. But those are now yesterday's problems. And
yeah, thankfully.
I'm looking forward to, you know, you could, there's a very strong hopium scent in the air. And when this portal opens and closes, I'm gonna be ready to be telling. There's free drinks on the Lyreboat. Saying, I'm gonna be ready to tell some.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get through this this transfer portal cycle. We're gonna be riding very high on the hopium, and hopefully it doesn't come back to bite us in the ass the way it did 2 years ago.
Yeah, hopefully we will be. Get me some O linemen, and we'll be riding high on the Hopium Hog.
You know what I'm saying? The Hog is back, man.
The Hog is back. Yeah. Man, shout out Brent Pride, dude. You know, we talk sometimes, and I always root for that guy. So I'm glad he's back. It'll be nice to see him, you know, redeem himself. So.
And he's in his wheelhouse now, man. He can focus on defense, focus on making that thing better, focus on, you know, what he does very well, and then, you know, chipping in on the recruiting trail as well, because he's always been burning that thing up pretty good.
Yeah, I was like you. I thought he'd be an analyst, and then when I saw that he turned down Arkansas and Mississippi State defensive coordinator positions, I was like, oh, I think he's actually going to be our defensive coordinator, which works out for him. He gets to stay at a school that he loves. He gets to, you know, redeem himself. He didn't have to worry about pulling his kids out of school and putting them somewhere else. Like, he didn't have to do long distance. He just gets to stay home and still do what he loves to do at the place he loves to do it. And I support that.
Yeah. I'm, I'm, like I said, I'm good with this. It's going to be, it's a weird dynamic, but I'm still wrapping my head around that part of it. But it, just in terms of it making sense for Virginia Tech, I think it does. Because I think he's a very talented defensive coordinator. I think he can, like I said, when he gets the talent, he can get the job done. And I think he'll put a pretty good group of folks around him. Franklin will put a good group of folks around him to allow him to have the most success he possibly can.
Absolutely, man. Well, one hell of a first recruiting class in Blacksburg for James Franklin. Starting to get some staff built out going. The picture is becoming clearer. And until next time, dude, go Hokies.
Go Hokies.